Okay, let's go on with the discussion. So we have we choose point one with probability px0y. px0y is the probability of choosing y at time t equal 1. Once we've chosen y, we set x1 equal to y, and x1 is the state of the system at time t equal 1. And then we keep going this way. So once we have decided where we are at time t equal 1, so we know what x1 is, we choose a new point y with probability px1y. Again, px1y at fixed x1 is a probability, so we choose y with this probability, and we set x2 equal to y. And x2 is the position, is the state of the system at time t equal 2. And in this way, we keep going, generating all points in our Markov chain. So let's present an example in which we consider two eigenspins, x1, s1, and s2. An eigenspin is a variable that takes two values, plus 1 and minus 1. You can imagine it as a 1/2 spin. Usually we say that 1/2 spin has two possibilities. Possibility in which the component sz is equal to plus 1/2, and the component sz is equal to minus 1/2. Well, the eigenspin is exactly the same, so the only difference is that instead of plus 1/2 and minus 1/2, we use plus 1 and minus 1. So there's nothing very different. If we have two spins, the state space contains four different states, because we should consider all different combinations of the two spins. So the two spins may be both up, so we have the configuration plus 1 plus 1. One may be half and the other may be down, so we have plus 1 minus 1 and minus 1 plus 1. And the last configuration, S4, is the configuration in which both spins are down, so the configuration is minus 1 minus 1. And our dynamics consists in choosing randomly the two spins, one of the two spins, and flipping it with probability p. So the important point is that we choose one spin and one spin only. So in our dynamics, one spin changes and the other does not. We choose randomly which of the two spins we change. And once we have decided which spin we consider, we change it with probability p. This is our dynamics. And we want to write down the transition matrix. So let's compute the different transition elements. So we start with P12, which is the probability of going from plus 1, plus 1, to plus 1, minus 1. So as you can see, this is the transition in which the second spin changes. So this occurs only if we choose the second spin. And since we randomly choose one of the two spins, this occurs with probability 1/2. Then once we have chosen the second spin, we must flip it, and this occurs with probability p. So the total probability is 1/2 times p, which is p over 2. Analogously, we can compute p13, which is the probability of going from plus 1 plus 1 to minus 1 plus 1. This occurs if we choose the first spin, and then we flip it. We choose the first spin with probability 1/2, and we flip it with probability p. So the total probability is 1/2 times p. So it's p divided by 2. Finally, we have the probability p14. But as you can see, you cannot go from s1 to s4, since in each time step, we only flip one spin. Only one spin is reversed. While here, it would be necessary to reverse both spins, so the probability of going from S1 to S4 is zero. Finally, we need to compute P11, and to compute it, we use the definition, the main property of probability, that sum over x, or sum over y, of P1y is equal to 1, once we sum over all y's. So we rewrite this condition explicitly, P11 is the unknown, P12 is P over 2, P13 is P over 2, P14 is 0. We sum them, should be 1, and we get P11. The same calculation can be done if you start from S2, from S3, from S4, and you get the transition matrix, which is written at the end of page 3. Then we have a numerical implementation of this algorithm, and the idea here is to store each configuration in a vector. So S10, S20 is the position, is the state of the system at time t equals 0. Then S1, element 1, and S2, element 1, is the position of the system at time t equals 1. And in general, S1 element I, so S1 I in square bracket, is the state of the system, of the first spin of the system, at time t equals I. And S2 I is the value of the spin S2 at time t equals I. So here is the implementation. We start from the configuration S1, in which both spins are 1, and they are stored in S10, S20. The 0 here means t equals 0, and then we do one iteration. We extract two random numbers uniformly in 0, 1 using our routine run. We call them x and y, and we use them to implement the probabilities. So we use x to choose one of the two spins. If x is less than 1/2, and this occurs with probability 1/2, we choose the first spin. Otherwise, we choose the second spin. Once we have chosen the spin, we use y. If y is less than p, and this occurs with probability p, the chosen spin is flipped, and the other is the same. Instead, if y is larger than p, also the chosen spin is the same. And note that we use the value of the spin at time I minus 1, and then we compute the value of the two quantities at time equal I. So for instance, if we choose the first spin and y is less than p, so we decide that we want to flip it, we set S1i equal to minus S1 of I minus 1, while S2 of I is equal to S2 I minus 1. In this case, S2 is unchanged. And you can easily see that there are all these cases considered here. Now we want to compute the probability of a given history. This is a concept that we will use. What is a history? The history is the following. We want to compute the probability that we are in x0 at time equals 0, in x1 at time equals 1, in x2 at time equals 2, in x3 at time equals 3, and so on, up to xn at time equals n. And of course, since we know the probability of each transition, the probability of this history is nothing but the product of the probabilities of the transition. So it's simply the product of p x0 x1, x1 x2, x3 x4, up to xn minus 1 xn. Another concept that we want to emphasize is the probability of being at time n in xn irrespective of what happened in the intermediate time. So we don't care where was the system at time equal 1, 2, 3, 4. We only know where it was at the beginning and where it is at the end. So we want to have the probability to be in xn irrespective of the walk that the system has done in state space. So what we have to do? We have to sum the histories, the probability of all the histories that are such that they start in x0 and they end in xn. To understand that, let's go back to our example and let's ask the probability of going from S1 at time equals 0 to S4 at time equal 2. There are, of course, four possible histories in this case, because from S1 we can go to S1 and then to S4, from S1 we can go to S2 and then to S4, to S3 and then to S4, to S4 and then stay in S4. And each of them has a probability which is the product of the transition matrices. So the probability of this history in which we start in x0 and we end in x4 independently of what happens at time equal 1 is just the sum of the four, of the probabilities of the four possibilities. But you get in this way the sum over x, p1x, px4. And now if you interpret p as a matrix, you can immediately realize that the sum is nothing but the usual product of matrices. So the probability is nothing but the element 1,4 of the matrix p square. You immediately imagine how to generalize this argument to generic cases, and at the end you see that the probability of going from x0 to xn in n steps is nothing but the element x0 xn of pn. Pn is the product of pn times, so p times p times p times p n times. And this is the matrix which is relevant for the computation of this probability irrespective of the behavior of the system at intermediate times.